reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Do we have scriptures on the screen? Okay. Maybe I will follow the Korean tradition, Korean church's tradition. When we read the scripture, we just stand up together and read the scripture together. Would you please stand? If you are able. Yes. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you pray with me once again? Yeah. Dear God, we thank you so much. We are here in your presence, Lord. Help us to find your will and help us to find your direction in this service, Lord. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before starting my sermon today, I'd like to show you some pictures from Estonia, from JD, and from Len. Yes? The person sitting right beside JD is Bishop Sundo Kim, who is a retired pastor from Kumnan Church in South Korea. And next one is Gwangnim Church. Next one is, they are the graduate from the seminary this year. The photo was taken last Friday. Next one, please. They are revealing the plaque for Gwangnim Chapel. As you heard from JD, the Gwangnim Church donated $1 million in the early 1990s to found that Baltic Theological Seminary, and they dedicate the chapel after the name of the Gwangnim Church. Next one, yes. The reason why Gwangnim Church donated $1 million to the seminary is because Bishop Sundo Kim was moved by the stories of Estonians who suffered a lot, because he was from North Korea, and he knew and understood the sufferings of North Korean people. So he could identify the people in Estonia with his own experience. So that is why the church donated, you know, $1 million. Between the services at the fellowship time, Rene Clevenger told me the story from Reverend Len Clevenger. The Baltic Theological Seminary kind of, you know, asking special donation, maybe from, you know, Sundo Kim. And they said, and he said, how much you need? And they said, 300,000, and 30,000. And he said, okay, then we will give you $100,000. That money is for the special joint program between Baltic Theological Seminary and Asbury Theological Seminary here in the United States, in our denomination. So God is working in a very special way, and our church is also being used by God through the servant from our church. Amen? Amen. Okay. Today is Father's Day. Every year on Father's Day, I really miss my father, who passed away in Korea 11 years ago. He was a police officer and a handsome man who knew how to dress up in public. I remember his leather boots and jacket he used to wear when he rode his motorcycle. I think my son and I have received the handsome genetics from my father, even though you might not agree with my idea. So I prepared the evidences of my thought. Next picture. That is my father and my mom, taken in 1970. Next one, that is my family and my younger brother and me, and right side, I was 1 year old at the time. Now you see the genetics, right, from my family, right? My father enjoyed hunting with his air guns. There was a time when my mom cooked with his hunted peasant. And while I was chewing, I bit into one of the bullets that was still in the meat. My mom was really, really angry. And I don't want to share the story more. He also did his best to take care of his father and mother when they needed their oldest son's care. He was the problem solver in the family. Whenever his 8 sisters and brothers were in trouble, he always there to help them out. Finally, he became a Christian at the age of 65, fully accepting the love of God into his life and boldly discontinued the ancestor worship, which had been the long-time family tradition. Even though he had received a lot of criticism from his brothers and sisters, he never bent his will to not worship the first idols in the family. I'm so much proud of my father. I really miss my father. How about your father? How do you remember your father? While I was preparing my sermon for today, I have thought about how I want to be remembered by my children. I want to be remembered as the one who loves God's church, loves their mom, and loves them. Maybe I should ask my children about that after the service today. Of course, I must take them to a nice restaurant to get the good response from them. The scripture we just read today contains the message of God to his children about the things he wants them to remember. I believe that it is the message we need to share with our children and grandchildren, because this message confirms who we are in our relationship with God, which helps to understand and build up our identity, dignity, and mission. I encourage all of you today to review your lives upon this message in the scripture today and prepare to leave your spiritual legacy to your children and grandchildren. The first message I want to share with you from the scripture today is the love of God. The love of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. That is what we are." Do you see our new identity here? The children of God, because of God's love. Our identity and dignity come from what our Father has done for us. It is not from what we have achieved. It is from God, the way He loves us, the way He treats us, that builds up our identity, who we are, and our dignity as God's children. We all know that John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Without the love of God, without accepting the love of God, people will perish. That is the message we are to share with our children. You have that love because your dad, your parents, we have received that love. And that love has been revealed to us in many ways. And you are one of the many loves we have received from God. We can share that with our children and with our grandchildren. The love of God is not static. It has a centrifugal force, which means continually moving from its center toward the outside. If we have that love of God, We have to do something. We have to go out and share the story of God with the people who needed to listen to that story. Because when God has that love for us, He couldn't contain that love in Him. So He sent His only Son to us. If we have that love of God in our hearts, we need to do something. That love kind of pushes us to do something. That should start in our family, to share the story of God's love with our children and grandchildren. So the message we are to share with our children and grandchildren is the message of God's love through death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And also we know that each of us will stand before Jesus' judgment throne individually. Do you believe in that? It is not my word. That has been repeatedly recorded in the Bible. We will stand individually before the throne of Jesus' judgment. And then we will be asked to explain to Jesus about what we have done. I believe we will all stand together there. And then we need to explain to God if we really share the story of God's love with our children and grandchildren. Because we are responsible for that. Amen?
Amen.
We have lived a life to give our love unconditionally to our children, right? Yeah, we try hard to unconditionally love our children, to do something for our children. Even if we have exerted our effort to do so, we must admit that the love of God for our children is much bigger than ours. Amen? Even though we really try hard to take care of our children, God's mighty hands are much bigger than our hands. We should admit that. Isaiah 49, verse 15 through 16 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Even the moms in the world, they might forget their children, but I'm not going to forget my children. There is a famous distinction of theology with the lowercase t and theology with the capital letter T. Theology is a systematic description and explanation of the way things really are, the way God sees them. And we will speak of this as theology with the capital T. At other times, we use the term when we speak of human description and explanations of reality that arise out of our study of the Bible. We speak of this as theology with a small t. Our understanding and our knowledge about God and about the Scripture is very limited. But God's understanding Himself, God's understanding about His creation and about the people in the world, that knowledge, that understanding, that theology is the perfect one. If we have that kind of understanding, when we do the theology, we can be humble. We can accept other people's theology with the hope that we can find another truth that we haven't found yet. So that makes us humble. That distinction can be applied to the love we give to our children. Small letter L love and capital letter L love from God. If we know that, we can be humble all the time when our God takes good care of our children. We can be always grateful for what He has done to our children. And we can expect God more than what we are doing to to lead our children for the purpose He already set for our children. Amen? Yes. Because God's love is much bigger than ours. That is why we need to pray for our children all the time, for them to stay in the love of God. If we believe in that, God's love is much bigger than ours, and our children need that love, that we need to pray for our children continually. Amen? That is what we need for our children. I remember when my father visited me in Pasadena, California. I asked my father to pray for me and to pray for my family. At the time, my son Abraham was just born. And it was a day he was leaving for South Korea, going back to South Korea. And he just started to join the church. And he didn't know how to pray to God. But when he was asked, he kind of hesitant. And then he said, okay, I will do what I can do. And then he started to pray for my son, for me, and for my wife, putting his hands on me and on my son and on my wife. Because he saw that his pastor at the church do that way. He was in tears while he was praying for me and for my family. And after the prayer, he said, I don't know what is going on here. But I have that story. Even though my son does not remember what his grandfather had done for him, but I remember, I have that story. The love story from God through my father to him and to my family. I have that story to share with my children. I believe you also have that kind of stories in your family, right? Then you are to share that story in your family. I want my children to remember me as the father who loved them so much. But also I want my children to remember the love of God as they remember my love for them. God's love will build them up and give them the inheritance of His kingdom. The second message is hope. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children. Now, what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. I think you are familiar with the verse, you know, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Are you ready to do that? So why don't you share your hope with the person sitting right next to you now? I received the same response from the first service. Nobody did that. But I understand. Yes, we have hope, right? That is Jesus Christ. That is the hope we have. And we will be like Him. Which means we are in the process of being, resembling continually our Lord Jesus Christ. We love each other, we love our family, but that is not perfect love. But we are growing. And we will be perfected in our love for our God and for our family, for our neighbors, because we have the promise, we have the hope. Jesus Christ is in us. And then when He was revealed, we will be like Him. But now we are in the process, growing to the maturity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope we have. Even though we hear a lot of bad stories, a lot of terrible news from the media, still God is working in the lives of the people, of His servant, continually changing them to resemble his son, Jesus Christ. That is the hope we have. That is the hope the world needs from us. Amen? Amen. There are three distinctive marks of hope in Christian life. Psalm 78, verse 7 says, "They should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment." If we have hope in our God, the first mark that we have that hope is we never forget the works of God. That is the foundation story of our faith, that God has been working in us. So we have hope for the future. The other mark is, if we have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, then we keep his commandment. Because we have hope, we are not just stay there. We do not stay just there. We try to find the will of God by reading the scripture, by praying to God, and try to figure out the intention of God toward our lives, because we have hope. If we have hope in Jesus Christ, we are not passive at all. We become more active to find the will of God and to keep his will in our life. The last mark is, if we have hope, we do not have room for spiritual lethargy. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not be weary." This verse reminds us of Psalm 121. "He who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord will keep you going out and you are coming in from this time on and forever." Our God is a God of energizer. If we have hope in Jesus Christ, we become spiritually vibrant, because it is not us, but God who is at work in us, enabling us to want and to live out the good purposes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. If we have hope, God moves us to do something for him. And also God gives us, supplies us continual strength and power. I don't know how your spiritual states are nowadays. Are you spiritually vibrant? You want to do something for our God? And do you want to discern the will of God towards your life at this moment? Or are you passive and at a loss and confused? Then have a time to think about the hope you have. Do you have this hope in your mind, the Jesus Christ? Then the power of God will move us and give us strength and more vibrant spiritual strength. The last message is purity. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, once again, it says, "And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." Purity means holiness, right? Do you want your children to be happy in their life? Yes. I want my children to be happy in their lives. Why not? But do you know how they can be happy in their life? Let us hear the voice of John Wesley. He says, "As the more holy we are upon earth, the more happy we must be. If we become holy, we can be happy. The more happiness comes from the more holiness of our lives." And also he said, the main doctrines of Methodism is the doctrine of repentance, the doctrine of faith, and the doctrine of holiness. That is what John Wesley said. Because he understood our happiness comes from our holiness. Please remember this. We are not called for our happiness. We are called for our holiness. And then our happiness will come after our holiness. What is holy? In the Bible, the word holy means separated or different. The way we think and behave about our relationship, our love, and our priority of money and time, our value systems, and our ethics. They are different from the people in the world. Those differences we have create curiosity in the minds of the people in the world. Because of our holiness, our separateness, our difference, they start to attract to Jesus Christ through us. It means if we have holiness, then we can influence the world and we can enjoy our happiness in our lives. That is the message we are to share with our children. You have to be holy in your thought, in your behavior, and in your relationship with other people. By doing so, you can enjoy the happiness of your life. By doing so, you can be the leader of God so that you can lead people to the presence of God. That is the message we are to share with our children. You remember Jesus Christ taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He taught us to pray for the holiness of God's name in our lives. We are to honor God's name in all that we do and say, because Jesus Christ understands how we can have happiness in our life. One of the well-known definitions of Christian worship is the glorification of God and the sanctification of the faithful. As we glorify God in our worship, we are in turn sanctified, made holy in everyday life. Sanctification means to be made holy. As we praise God, we become formed in God's image continually. As Augustine said, we imitate whom we adore. We imitate whom we adore. I believe, do you know why the first child in the family always resembled his father? Because the wife always adored her husband. Well, that's not true, but I'm just saying. But we have to be very careful. The object we worship, the personhood we resemble what we worship. So we have to be very careful. Nowadays, we do see a lot of our kids, when they go up to college, they leave church. And after their college, also, a lot of people, they experience exodus from the church. Sometimes we feel very powerless and frustrated. And we are easily tempted to complain about the world. The world has been changed a lot. But that's not true. The world was always the same. Not accepting the teaching of Jesus Christ. Not accepting the sanctification, the holiness. The world was always saying, the problem, yes, we have a problem. We have to set our time and set our priority to worship God. By doing so, we have to teach our children how we can worship God and serve God, how we can love other people. As you worship together with them so that they can be more sanctified. They can resemble God more and more as they join the worship service together with us. And after we leave, they can stay at the church. And they will serve God in the church, worship God, and they will teach their children how they can serve God and serve His people at the church. So this is my prayer for our children. God, please help them to be your true worshipers. Wherever they go, let them worship you and glorify your name. By doing so, let them be holy in their words and deeds, so that the people in the world can be drawn to you through them. Lord, let them be your true worshipers. I hope and pray that this prayer will be the same prayer you pray to God for your children. There was a kind of a survey in the United Methodist Church's Facebook. It was about the hymns or the Bible verses that remind people of their father. One of the commonly responded hymns is, "I Love to Tell the Story." So, please take out your pew hymn books and open the hymn number 156. We're going to sing first verse and last verse to get together. "I Love to Tell the Story." The story our fathers want to share with their children is the story of Jesus Christ and His love, right? That is why so many people, even if their fathers are not here, they remember the message they shared with their kids. The story about Jesus and about His love. Why don't you share that story with your children? Yes, today is Father's Day. But remember, we are our children's father because God allows us to become their fathers. So it is the right time to share our own story of God's love in our lives with our children and also grandchildren, so that they can share their story of God for their parents with their children in the future or now. Let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much for the faith we have in you and your Son, Jesus Christ. You have called us to become the parents of our children, to share the story with them. If there are any other family members that we need to share the wonderful story with, help us to have the courage to talk with them about Jesus and his steadfast love in our lives. If they know you, we pray that they can grow continually in love, hope, and purity. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.